I want to preach a message entitled Grace in the Wilderness. And in Jeremiah 31:1, it says, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they should be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I wanted to cause him to rest. The older I get as a Christian, the more I've seen in the work of the Lord, the more I'm overwhelmed with two aspects of God's dealing with his people. One is his mercy. People, I've been saying this for close to 40 years now. People say to me, how you doing? And my answer is almost always the same. I'm doing better than I deserve. Because if I got what I deserve, I would be in hell. When I went to Bible college back right after World War I, I went up to the school in Annapolis that was started by Dr. Ford Porter. And did your dad ever have Dr. Porter down here? Okay. Dr. Porter he's the one that wrote the God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Right? Wrote that in 1933 over there at Princeton. Had 200 issues. Probably he wanted to put one tract every home in Princeton in. So he had 200 of them made. As of right now, there's been over 500 million printed, distributed around the world since then. Tens of thousands of people saved. But Dr. Porter was a great preacher. He was a powerful prayer warrior. That's where I learned the intercessory prayer ministry. And he's probably the godliest man I ever met in my life. Every time he stood up, if he was going to preach or if he was going to introduce somebody or make an announcement or whatever in front of the people, he'd always say this, I ought to be in hell. He would say that every time. I ought to be in hell. And I would think, if that man ought to be in hell, I ought to be in hell number four or hell number five, because there's a big difference between him and me as far as godly character is concerned. But God's mercy and God's grace are just two of his, it's part of his attributes that he deals with us. And God's mercy and God's love come, God's grace come out of God's love. Yes, sir. God so loved that he gave. What did he give? Well, he gave his mercy. Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. I'm not going to hell because of God's mercy. So God's mercy keeps me from getting what I'm supposed to get. God's grace gives me what I don't deserve. See, I'm not going to hell because of his mercy, but I'm going to heaven because of his grace. And you know, you can go through the Bible and do a study on the grace of God and so many different aspects that apply to the daily Christian life and all of that. Then I sit down and I divided God's grace into three different sections. his saving grace, his sustaining grace, and his separating grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. That's how we get in. Amen. And then when we come down to the end of life's road, and not many days or minutes left, and we're going to be going out into eternity, we do not have to fear, because God will give us separating grace. There's an old boy down in North Carolina by the name of Tom Hayes wrote a song years ago entitled New Grace. And on one of the stanzas he talks about, there'll be new grace when it's your time to die. And I've seen that, many of you have seen that over and over and over again. When my mother passed up in Wisconsin years ago, we were called up there, and there had been some false alarms, but this time it was real. And I got up there, and I spent the last day or two in the hospital with her, round the clock. And she died of congestive heart failure, and the lungs and the chest cavity filling up, you know. And there's a point where they can't get that out anymore. I don't know. I guess because of the weakness of the heart. But anyway, I watched her drowning in that fluid. And I never once saw my mother get upset. The nurses were in there. They were sticking needles. They were taking blood. And they were doing all kinds of stuff. And my mother knew that she was going to be leaving for long. But she's never upset. There was never the slightest spark of fear in her eye or in her voice. And she died. I was there and I watched her. She slipped out just as peacefully, as quietly as a person can. And I remember thinking, I have witnessed separating grace in the death of my mother. You say, well, I'm kind of afraid to die. Well, you better make sure you're saved, because if you're saved and you're living right, when it comes your time, believe me, there'll be no fear, because God's grace will be sufficient. But between saving grace and separating grace is what I call sustaining grace. That's the grace that we need in our daily lives for so many different circumstances, where we really need God to do for us what we don't deserve, but what we desperately need to have done. Amen. And here in this verse, he says, the people found grace in the wilderness. I want to focus on that sustaining grace for just a few minutes. I would like to say three things about the wilderness. Applying a wilderness experience to our daily life, because life has a great deal in common with the wilderness. We've read in our Old Testaments how that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, it didn't have to have been that way, but some leadership made the wrong decisions. And so they were there in the wilderness under the chastening hand of God. I figured out one time that there had to be an average of 41 funerals a day for 40 years to let whole, what was it, 600,000 men died, and they were not going to go in the promised land. So they were there under the chastening hand of God. But you know what? God took care